and welcome to the first episode of our digital healthcare podcast. So I'm really glad that I'm welcoming with us the expert from WMG department, Dr. Mohamed Alajlani.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you for being here. So just to introduce you, first of all, to the topic as listeners, we're going to be exploring the Medical School Council competency number 11, which is looking at electronic personal health and medical records. And the reason we have our expert speaker today coming over from WMG is because you've got a lot of experience in this field. Now, your journey here started back in 2007 at Imperial College London, is that right?
Yes, around this time.
And you did a qualification in one of the precursor names of health informatics. And then from 2007, you've been a course leader in digital healthcare and in health informatics at different leading universities across the UK. You've published many authoritative works in the digital healthcare field. So we're very lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Good. So what I'd like to talk about first of all is just briefly outlining the historical context of patient records. So most of our listeners here won't be familiar with the original Lloyd George, which I can still remember in my medical student days being a small paper envelope stuffed with random bits of paper held together by paper clips and sometimes bits of sellotape. And sometimes you'd see a patient and there'll be 10 of these folders stacked a foot or so high on the edge of the desk and your heart would really sink. So now we're very lucky to have incorporated these electronic patient records. So I've used a couple of terms there. Electronic patient record, electronic medical record, electronic health record, that all sound the same. Could you help us differentiate these?
Yeah, so by definition, there are like four, there are four categories or four definitions of medical record in general. So if we start with the patient health record, it's managed by a patient. The health information entered by the patient themselves and managed by the patient. We have the EHR, the electronic health record. It's the more comprehensive, the more big record, and this can be shared by multiple providers in healthcare. And this is something similar to what we have on the primary care for the GP medical records. We have the EMR, electronic medical record, and this is a medical record in a single healthcare provider's office. So it could be like a clinic. Okay, so it's in one office or one clinic.
Okay, so if I just interrupt you there for a second, our listeners will be quite familiar with the EMIS web healthcare record, which is used in primary care.
Yes.
Now, if that same system is being used in one GP surgery, they're using the EMIS web system to administer their record, is that then just an EMR or is that an EHR?
Now, if we are talking about EMIS only implemented in one clinic, it's an EMR. But since EMIS is implemented on the primary care of like many other clinics.
Yeah, across Warwickshire.
Exactly. So this is, in this case, it's an EHR.
Ah, okay.
So maybe we have an EHR for clinics and then we have a separate or private clinic when they have their own system. This system would be an EMR.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Carry on.
Yeah, and we have the EPR. So it's something similar to the EHR, but it's the UK common term, electronic patient record. And this is like for specific hospital or specific trust.
Okay.
Yes. These are the four.
Okay. So I think for our listeners, those are controlled by the medical professionals.
Yes.
Are those interchangeable terms, the electronic health record, the electronic medical record. But then if we move away from the data controller being the medical professionals, we also have the patient medical record. Okay. And I think there are some important things for our listeners to consider about the difference between those.
Yes.
To do with the data controller. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so when we are talking about PHR, the data is entered, stored, managed by the patients.
So the patient is a data controller in this
context.
Exactly.
And if they're willing to share this with the healthcare provider, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But we can see, if we talk later about platforms, they are the ones who manage these platforms. So if we have, it's only for their reference, if they want to see, or they want to track their health symptoms. Now, if we are talking about EHR and EPR, mm-hmm. the healthcare professionals are the ones who can edit the medical record for the patients. And the patients can have a view on the
okay, data. So for example, they can look on their NHS app and they can read the electronic health record.
But they cannot edit the data of their record. So they cannot add their heart pulse or their sugar blood or
their blood sugar, yes. Yeah. It's very good. Very good. So the reason that might be of clinical significance is in relation to things like health insurance, for example. Mm. So if we had a patient who was reviewing their annual health insurance policy, and one of the indices used by the insurers to predict health outcomes would be blood pressure. So if the health insurer were to reference a blood pressure value that was taking its information from the electronic patient record, the EPR,
yeah.
Then this would be a quality controlled. This would be quality controlled data, which would be assured as having been taken by a healthcare professional, which is different to if a patient just decided that their insurance would be cheaper if their blood pressure was 100 over 70 and put it in themselves.
Exactly. And the EPR record and the EHR record are a legal record. So if this information is needed by the court, for example, they can go back to the medical record and check information they needed. So it could be something used legally.
Ah, okay. So the EHR can be used as a legal reference and is objective with the data controller as a medical professional, as opposed to the
EMR.
The
PHR.
The PHR, where the patient can enter their data and change it, and that's potentially a more subjective source of data.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that. Okay. So if we were going to talk about the advantages, mm-hmm. Of these systems, so what are the benefits of personal health records for the patients?
For the patients, so they have better access to health information, so they can see their medical history, they can track their health condition symptoms, it improved the self-management. So people with long-term conditions, like diabetes or asthma, can track their symptoms as we mentioned earlier. Also, it's time saving. So patients can book appointments, request repeat prescriptions, or get reminders without the need to be on the phone waiting for the receptionist to answer their phones and so on. And also, it's more control and engagement, which encourages patients to be more involved in their health decisions. So when they see the data, when they see the data, when they see if like if their health condition is improving, this will help them maybe to do more sport or to manage their diet, because they see, okay, we are improving now. What else can we do? This encourages them to do better.
So patient ownership of the data is encouraging concordance with greater positive health behaviours.
Yep.
Very good. And can you see any disadvantages associated with the increasing use of the electronic health record?
Yes. So since we are talking about patients' data, it's critical. So most of the disadvantages is are about the privacy and security concerns.
Okay, very important. So data security.
Exactly, because these are like patient-sensitive health information stored in digital systems, and it has high risk for this data to be breached or accessed by unauthorized people. Also, we have a disadvantage that could be the digital divide and accessibility. So some patients, like elderly or less tech-savvy individuals, may struggle to access the PHR effectively. So they could be disadvantaged from all the benefits they get.
Okay, so you're increasing the digital divide.
Exactly.
So persons with lower digital literacy are now going to be disadvantaged.
Yes. Now, the other thing for the healthcare professional, maybe there will be information overload. So they'll healthcare professionals might find large volume of patient data entered, and they have to go through it all to check if the patient has entered accurate data and so on. The other thing is, of course, the data accuracy. If the patients enter their data into the PHR, so we need to make sure this data is accurate, it's relevant, and helps clinicians to take decisions. And I would say, finally, of course, the legal and ethical challenges, because the ownership of data is unclear. So liability in case of errors, for example, is the doctor liable if they fail to act on patient reported symptoms entered into the PHR?
That's a very tricky question, isn't it? Because you can foresee situations where a patient would input data into a patient portal or a patient medical record, and this would, if not acted upon directly and contemporaneously, lead to some potential problems.
Exactly. But of course, this is maybe a pressure on the clinicians. How would they know if this data is accurate or not?
Yeah, it must be verified directly with the patient, mustn't it?
True.
Okay. And I suppose another consideration with a disadvantage of the electronic health records is, as you say, the maintenance and the data input and how that interacts with the doctor-patient interaction. So, for example, if the doctor's constantly having to turn away from the patient to the screen and type things into the medical record, it almost creates a third person in the situation and breaks down that doctor-patient relationship. So, interestingly, over the last couple of years, we've seen a increased use of digital scribes, which are hopefully alleviating some of that technical burden. And of course, we'll discuss those in another episode when we discuss about the data privacy concerns associated with those digital scribes. Okay, so I think it's really important to look ahead discuss what future opportunities you see over the horizon with regard to electronic medical records. What have you seen?
For the future, because digital now is really advancing a lot, and we always hear about AI these days. So I would say there will be more empowering tools. So PHR use AI, artificial intelligence, and analytics tools to help analyze patient data and predict health risk. Maybe could recommend preventative measures, and also can support clinical decision making. Of course, with the use now of mobile and wearable technology, so mobile apps and wearables, like smartwatches and fitness trackers, you know, we have Fitbit and all this stuff now, will increasingly feed data into the PHR. And this, of course, will help provide more comprehensive data. So now they have the data coming from like wearable devices for heart pulse, for example, and different type of like data that could help with the decision making.
So, for example, data about people's sleeping habits and sleeping times will be very significant moving forwards.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, with the rising concern of like over data breaches, PHR platforms will adopt stronger security protocols. So we are talking about like maybe blockchain in the future or advanced encryptions. So this will help with the storage of data and also with the access to this data from, I mean, to prevent access to the data from unauthorized people.
Could you just briefly outline what blockchain is for our listeners?
Great. So, yeah, good question. I mean, blockchain is a decentralized way of storing information. So that makes the data secured. It's hard to change. So it's like a digital notebook shared across many computers. Now, it keeps the data safe because it cannot be edited. You can add data to the nodes or to the block. However, all the blocks on the nodes, or the other nodes, let's call them the other nodes in this network, will be notified if any data has been added, which means, and it can be a concern for now, that all the nodes will have access to the patient information. So is this, do we need this now?
Okay.
So it's a bit of a concern.
So it makes the data harder to lose, but has increasing concerns over quite wide access and and how you restrict access to the patient data. Okay, very good, thank you. So what other innovations are you most excited about in the space of electronic patient records?
I would say, of course, the AI-powered personal health assistance. So imagine if the PHR integrated with some intelligent virtual assistant that can analyze your health data, provide personalized advice, and maybe like flag potential issues early. With all this innovation now we have with AI, if we utilize it properly and link it to the PHR, we could get really very good results. The other thing I would say is the integration with wearable and continuous monitoring devices. So something similar to what we talked about earlier, with like more sophisticated wearable tracking vital signals.
So like things like the health rings and and the watches monitoring your sleep and your heart rate.
Exactly. So now we have like more real-time health like data, and the PHR will become like a dashboard where the data is fed to from different sources, which of course improves the decision making.
Okay, very good. And there's a NHS project looking at this called Foresight, where using the same technology behind the large language models, the patient data is being used to predict what will happen next to that patient, which allows us to potentially intervene at an earlier stage before things have happened.
Good, good.
Very good. Okay, well, is there anything else particularly that you... oh, yes. So, yes, another thing that we should talk about is about the responsibilities with accessing patient records. So what do you think medical students should know about their responsibilities when accessing medical records, about when it's appropriate and when it's inappropriate?
Yeah, so like we mentioned earlier, it's we have to remember that patients' records contain sensitive personal information, and this must be kept strictly or confident, has to be confident.
Confidential, yeah.
Sorry. Yes. So this is sensitive information. It has to be, always confidential. I would also say only access records for patients you are directly involved in treating. Never share the patient information with any unauthorized person. This mm-hmm. is really important. It's sensitive data. And view only the information relevant to your clinical duties.
Okay.
So if the data you're looking at does not help you with taking decision about specific health condition for a patient, there is no need to have a look at this information. Of course, this is still like a gray area.
Because you don't always know
exactly
that data will or will not be clinically relevant until you've seen it.
Exactly.
So one must kind of exercise caution in
yes,
this area.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Also, I would say respect consents and legal guidelines. So the legal guidelines is we have the GDPR, we have to look at the NHS policies and so on. And remember that access or misuse to this data could lead to disciplinary action and legal consequences. So we always have to be careful about this. And a very important thing that all the access to electronic health records or any kind of official records is usually logged and monitored. So it says or it records which person accessed this record, what time, what they have done, if they viewed, if they edited data, and so on. Everything
yeah, leaves
is logged.
Leaves a digital footprint when you access a patient
exactly.
record.
And this is why we have an advice always to the medical students, always when you use your computer or medical record, make sure you log off so no one can maybe
access the record inappropriately,
exactly.
leaving your digital footprint
exactly.
all over the place.
And lastly, if you're unsure about your right to access certain records, always ask for advice from a supervisor or data protection officer.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much. That's been a very informative episode for our listeners today. If you would like to please re-attempt the EMQ section on the Moodle page to see what you've learned and how it's improved your scores, that would be great. And if you want to learn any more about these topics, we will have put appropriate links within the Moodle page. And we will also leave your contact details for if you
yes.
have any further questions, if that's okay with you.
Please do email me if you have any questions. I'll be happy to help.
Thank you very much.
Good.